300 years. What can we say except thanks be to God? I'm so glad we're able to mark this time together. And there's so much that could be said as we kind of maybe fumble for words to express maybe what we feel or what we're thinking. The rarity of being part of a people with such a history. But what I want to do in our time together right now is to turn our thanks heavenward and just to simply tell God thank you. So today I want to talk to you about gratitude. And we've been talking about life transformation over the past few weeks, and we're using the analogy of water that's been heated to the boiling point, 212 degrees Fahrenheit. And when water is boiled to the boiling point, it begins to change. Turns from liquid water to gas. It's at that point the water begins to transform. And so what we're talking about is, what does it look like for our lives to begin to change, for our spiritual temperature to be increased? And there are disciplines, there are actually actions that we can take that kind of serve as heating elements that God uses through His grace to warm our temperature, to make us more Christ-like. So what is gratitude? It's always good to define something. Gratitude, and you won't find this in the dictionary, this is a 1-in-300-year definition, okay? Gratitude is the intentional act of tracing the river of blessing all the way to its source and saying thank you. It's kind of looking at the river of blessing and then looking upstream and saying thank you to God. That's what gratitude is about. Gratitude is expressing to God, the fount of all blessing, for all of the unearned good that has come to us. But gratitude is kind of tricky, because the human heart is kind of tricky. Because it is possible for someone to say thanks and still be ungrateful. I don't know if you've ever experienced Christmas morning before, but that's a great example. Gratitude extends beyond the gift to the source. And oftentimes, our gratitude is simply on the object or the good and not the source of good that has come to us. So full gratitude encompasses both the gift and the giver, the source. Secondly, something is awry when we think that what has come to us stops with us. That we, in a way, become a reservoir instead of a channel for more blessing. Notice the psalmist mentions God's provision and worthiness, and he says, serve the Lord with gladness. That is, in light of everything that God has done in your life, don't let it stop with you. Put it into action. Serve the Lord with gratitude, with thankfulness, with gladness. And how do we serve the Lord? By serving others with the love that we've received from God. So simply put, the grace that comes to you wants to work through you. And you're to be channels and not a reservoir. So gratitude is about noticing these things, saying thanks, and then putting it into action. The psalmist mentions a few things that we're to show gratitude for. That's in verse 3. He created us, and we are the sheep of His pasture. That we should be grateful people because God has made us, and He has made us His. He has made us, and He has made us His. God gave us life. Life itself, your life, is an example of the greatest unearned good. Silly question. Did you ask for it? No, of course. Of course not. But it was given to you. When God gives, He gives in abundance. He gives to overflowing. You may have heard me share this before. But God could have given us one flower. Instead, the Royal Botanic Gardens estimates that there are around 350,000 species of flowering plants. There are almost 10,000 species of birds. There are over 30,000 species of fish. I don't know if you consider this a good, but there's 950,000 species of insects. But God gave you life. Imagine what you would have missed out on if He hadn't. Your life is watered by the river of blessing. God has cared for you. God has not only made you, but He's made you His. He has taken responsibility for you. He gives life and He gives new life. Secondly, there's a problem. There's a problem, like I mentioned. And it's in the world. And it's in the world because it's really in our own hearts. Whereas God pours out and He gives abundantly and causes flourishing, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that there's this anti-God impulse in the world that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's completely opposite of gratitude. Jesus says, I'm the opposite of that. I have come that they may have life and to have it abundantly. He didn't say, okay, I'm here to hoard. I'm here to be the reservoir. I'm the Messiah. No, He came to be a distribution point for the grace of God. He says of Himself, using the phrase the Son of Man, which refers to the Messiah, He says, the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. God Himself, in the flesh, came not to be a reservoir and to hoard it all, but to give out, to serve, to be a channel. And the goodness that Jesus the Son received from God the Father, He poured out into the world. But if we're to have a moment of truth, there's a far distance between us and Jesus, right? I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that. But He desires for us not to just have life, to go through life on autopilot, but to have life abundant. And we begin to notice this abundant life when we practice gratitude. And psychological researchers have shown that gratitude opens the doors for more relationships. In 2012, a study written in 2012, it was found that grateful people experience fewer aches and pains. Okay, so that's in the plus column. They report feeling healthier. Grateful people exercise more. Gratitude improves psychological health, reduces envy, resentment, reduces regret, and it reduces entitlement. Gratitude increases happiness. It also reduces aggression. And yet, even in light of all these benefits, and in light of receiving life and new life from God, we so easily fall into the habit of taking it for granted or feeling like we're entitled to it and making ourselves the end of the good. And that's the story of creation. In the very few pages, first pages of Scripture, they tell of the abundance of God's creativity. He gives the ground for the cultivation of life. And He doesn't just create our sky to be blank. He says, no, I'm going to fill it with birds. He doesn't create our oceans, seas, and rivers just to flow with water. He says, they're going to be teeming with life. God gives abundantly. And then He creates us. And what does God do? He says, I want to fill them. And so He breathes life into us. He fills us with the breath of life. God fills up. He's always giving out. God is always giving out. And in the garden, there's just not two trees, right? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Scripture says that the garden is filled with every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. It is filled to overflowing. And as a matter of fact, there the river of blessing flows from Eden. We read, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. In Eden itself, there was no reservoir. But the one river that flowed out multiplied into four parts, and it multiplied and gave life to other lands, not just Eden. And then this thought comes up. Sure, there's hundreds of trees, but God said not that one. It's the opposite of gratitude. And it led to the opposite of life abundant. War, strife, persecution, murder, wrath, jealousy, greed, mistrust. And the summary of that is sin and misery. Sin and misery. Think about the conflicting idea. Adam and Eve are in the garden teeming with life. They swim in the river of abundance. And yet they say, not enough. No gratitude. And that seed is in all of our hearts. It's filled. It's filled by the goodness of God. And yet we so often either take it for granted or think we're entitled or we keep it for ourselves. But the good news is that God wants to change that. The prophet Ezekiel spent time with people who spent their life cultivating ingratitude. And Ezekiel's people are torn apart, they are hurt, they are sick. But Ezekiel saw that same people, that they could be renewed. In a vision, he saw streams of water that flowed from the house of God, from the temple of God. And it was the river of blessing. And it deepened and it broadened in its onward progress. And instead of leaving death and destruction in its wake, Ezekiel sees that after the water goes past, everything springs up to new life. The psalmist says as much in chapter 36. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. So how are we changed? Like if you're wrestling with, I want less stress. I want less resentment, less envy, fewer aches and pains. I want to show God that I'm a thankful person. How does that happen? Well, it has to work in your heart. We are a people afflicted with the misery of envy and pride and entitlement and anxiety. So how can we experience what the psalmist talks about? Drinking from the river of delight. Jesus said in John chapter 7, the one who believes in me, from their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. If you want to drink from the water of life, then you cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you see the abundance of God in Jesus Christ, this changes everything. You see a God that has not withheld even His Son from you. From you. And that God would not be a reservoir and keep it back from you. But that God saw you and said, I will give you my Son. The most gracious gift ever given on planet Earth. And that realization that God loves you, of all people, you! Of all people, me, that will change us, that it will humble us, and that it will cause gratitude to bubble up inside of us and change us from the inside out. And this change produces service. In verse 2, the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. As we experience the outflowing love of God, our hearts become channels for the blessing that we've received. The good that has been given to us is not the ends in themselves, but there are ways to serve others. Let me give you an example. It's one thing to say, I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my kids. It's another to say, God, this kid is a gift from you. And you have given me this child for just a short time. Thank you for loaning me this person for just a bit. And then gratitude changes it from a transaction. God, you've given this person to me. Gratitude changes it to service. that I'm raising this kid, not just for myself, to keep my child, but eventually that child is going to go out into the world. So I help in their education. I help cultivate their character. I help develop their faith. I pray for them. And God, I'm going to give this world and you my child one day. So instead of your child being a good that stays with you, the child becomes a gift that you push out gently into the world again and say, be a channel of blessing. Gratitude changes everything. Grace comes to us and changes us time and time again. And then it begins to open our eyes to the needs of those around us. And we pour out what we've received. 300 years. But we must not see this church, the people, or this building as an end in and of itself, as a reservoir. Ezekiel saw the blessing of God flowing out of the church to the people who needed it most. The reason that God has sustained us for 300 years is to be a worshiping community who testifies to the good graces of God that has come to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to be a people who demonstrate that by service to others. Like a child in a home, this building and these people are given to us for just a brief moment. In a way, my children are my children. But in many ways, because they were given to me and my wife, they're really God's children. And I am to pour out to them what I've received. Likewise, this church is our church. But it's not really ours. This church will live longer than any of us. It is God's church. This is God's church, and we are to care and to invest and to not let our lives be a reservoir, but to pour into the life of the church so that the blessing can flow out to our neighbors. And then, in the midst of all of that, we are to turn our eyes upstream and say, thanks. You and I get to be a part of this. It's amazing. And then verse 5, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Not just your generation, not just my generation. I am now old enough to say, and not the younger generation either. And as we become people who embrace gratitude and thankfulness and give and pour out, they will see from us that God's love endures generation to generation. But we must be the ones who now bear testimony to it, who share and who serve. And as we faithfully bear witness both inside and outside of Sunday morning, the next generation will hear and believe. And in this great historic city, like the vision of Ezekiel, they will see that the river of blessing begins in the house of God. Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift of eternal life. And thanks be to God for the gracious gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God for sustaining the faith of those who've gone before. May God give us thankful hearts so that we may serve Him together with gladness. Let's bow our heads. Before we sing our hymn of response, let's just pause for just a few moments and take some time for personal gratitude in this moment of silence.